The following podcast is rated E for explicit. That means a bunch of curse words.
Let's start the show. Six Packs with Expats. My name is Patrick.
And I'm Carl.
And we gotta come up with a new intro tomorrow. Squirrel.
We are Six Packs with Expats, and we are excited for season two. We hope you are as well.
So, if you're not familiar with the concept of this podcast, Six Packs with Expats is me and Carl's podcast. What we do is we get drunk, we travel the world, and we tell y'all stories about shit that's happening everywhere.
So, you have a bunch of amazing things to look forward to. One, great, excellent beer reviews. Two,
a whole bunch of interesting travel stuff. A whole bunch of stuff that you ain't know about. And maybe some stuff that you did. But I'm just going to say it a lot more interestingly.
So, we're really excited that you guys, we powered through 40 episodes of season one, and now we're going to kick off season two with our big announcement, which is...
We're back in Taiwan!
Man, back in Taiwan. How does it feel to be back in Taiwan, Patrick?
It feels good. So, again, for those of you who do follow the podcast, you probably noticed that we haven't put out a podcast since last year. That's because we've been in a big transitional period. Carl and I, we both moved back to America for a couple of months to be with our families, hang out, kick it, you know, do what we do. But now we are back in Taiwan. We're in a completely different part of Taiwan, too. Before we were up north, we were in Taipei.
We were in Taipei and Dan Shui, where it was cold and rainy a lot.
It was cold and rainy a lot. Now we are down in the middle of the island. We are in Taichung,
Taiwan, where the sun is always shining most of the time.
Ooh, that sounds like they should be like, they got this city slogan. Taichung, Taiwan, where the sun is always shining.
Comma.
It is hot as hell here.
It is hot.
It is hot as hell. When I got here, I don't even know what the temperature was. Like 105 something? I don't know. It's crazy.
It was extremely hot. So, as Patrick mentioned, guys, we were back in America for 8 months, taking care of family stuff, traveling, you know, reuniting ourselves with our home people. Because if we break it down to you guys, be honest with you, Patrick hadn't been home for an extended period of time in, what, almost 7 years, right?
It's been a couple years. Yeah, well, I ain't been home in a substantial amount of time. Yeah, since 2011.
Which is a long time. And as you guys know, we always put family first. So it was good to get back, you know, and be back at home. So how was it, Patrick? Again, me and Patrick were in two different places. This was the first time in 7 years we were not in the same place. There was a point in time where every day for about 6.5 years.
No, we were together.
We saw each other
almost every single day from 2011, from October 21st, 2011 to December 27th, 2011. What year is it?
It had to be
2017. We legit saw each other almost every single day. I can't believe that we don't hate each other.
Right. That's actually
that is surprising. Because I hate a lot of people that I've only seen like a fraction of that time. Like, I legit cannot stand seeing y'all faces. But man, we were around each other all the damn time. Shit.
All day, every day.
Ooh, it was a whole lot.
It was a lot.
But no, being back home was cool. It was good. I was really glad to be back with my family, to be back kicking with everybody. You know, I got to spend a lot of time with my parents, which I enjoy. But I think my favorite thing was getting to hang out with my nephew. You know, those who don't know, I'm a new uncle. Shout out to me.
It's been a whole year, but okay, yeah, you can say that.
In that situation, kind of a title that was thrust upon me.
You said what? You're the what now?
Said that I'm an uncle.
Oh. Yeah, it was thrust upon you. What?
The title of uncle was thrust upon
you. That's a part of it.
I signed up to be an uncle.
Yes, you did. When you were the first, when a second child was born, you signed on a dotted line.
I didn't sign up for that. No. Yeah. Again, that's an involuntary position that you become part of. Like, that's an involuntary agreement. I didn't sign up to be somebody's uncle. I'm glad that I am. Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm just saying, like, that whole thing was out of my control.
That's like saying you ain't signed up to be somebody's, like, somebody's brother. You signed
no,
up for that,
sign
being
up to
born.
Be somebody's brother. You were literally not involved in that process at all.
I mean,
you should be at least.
I mean, Cap, like, you got to swim to something. That's your involvement. No.
You sound stupid. I didn't even think of a good way to recover.
Because I hit you with some actual factuals right there.
Swimming to what? You signed up to be somebody's brother?
You swam to the burp, to the thing, to the egg.
You signed up to be somebody's brother?
Yeah. I was the second born. So actually, you know, being the second born, I actually didn't sign up. Yeah, because I'm the second born, I didn't sign up. I was actually thrust into it because I was born into it. I was born into being a baby brother.
Nah.
You were born first.
Okay, fine.
You were born when
you
first. Were born,
you signed up to be an older brother.
No.
No. Your same body.
I was already a brother when I was born. Thus.
You signed up to be an older brother. You were involved.
A brother,
period.
You were,
to your own accord, involved in the process of your younger siblings. There you go.
Can you denounce your right as uncle? If you said, could you legally go to a court and denounce your right of being an uncle?
Yes.
Yes or no? No, you
can't. Yes, you could.
How?
You emancipate yourself from your family.
If you are, okay, so say for example, hear me out. Say for example, you are adopted and because your parents gave you away. Not your actual parents, but like some shitty parents that couldn't take care of you at the time.
That don't make the parents shitty,
G. I'm just, okay, if they were shitty. There's some good parents like, hey, you give my son a better life, blah, blah, all that, whole lot of gang shit. But say that was the case. Are your biological parents still not your parents anymore?
No.
Yeah, they are. No. They're still your, we made so, up a term called biological parents for that very reason.
No.
They're still your biological parents.
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
they're just not your legal parents, but biologically, yes.
No.
So legally, you could denounce your right to your nephew, which you would never do. But
no, I would never do that.
You didn't.
That.
It's not like a petition. Like, hey, you want to be my son's uncle? Because you're my brother, so you know that's like nah, dog. I'm cool on being an uncle this week. Maybe next week. Nobody does that.
No, nobody does that. But I'm just saying, like. If you wanted to, you could.
If you wanted to, you could be a bad uncle.
Yeah,
but that wouldn't make you not an uncle.
If you stop fucking with your family, you could definitely be like, nah, man, I ain't about to be nobody's uncle. You know how many times, like, your parents be like, nah, y'all ain't my kids. I ain't dealing with this. Y'all ain't my kids.
A lot.
Ain't no way my kids just know. You know somebody.
I've been told I'm not some. Why would you run in the street and grab that ball? You thought you was fast enough? And my response was, yes, I did.
Yes, I did.
You ain't my son. That was a dumbass reply. And I'm like, mine.
Exactly. You see?
Don't like, call me that in front of my friends.
See, you be like, I can't believe my kids this damn stupid. There ain't no way. These kids ain't related to me. All the time. Nah, so see? What?
That was.
Look, we even got completely.
Yeah, I about to say, we apologize for that public aside. I'm sorry. But
yeah, like I said, I enjoyed being back home, spending time with my family, getting to know my nephew, watching him go from not being able to stand up. To standing up, to walking, to eating stuff with his hands.
Oh.
It was cool. I enjoyed it.
He used his hands? Oh, yeah. My niece used my hands to hit me in the face.
He can't use utensils yet, because, you know, they still kind
of
dangerous.
Oh, you should tell your brother to start him off with chopsticks. That'd actually be kind of dope, though, if he used chopsticks for a spoon.
I don't know if his fingers got the dexterity for that.
That's my favorite word about dexterity.
Again, we digress. Carl, what about you? How about you
work?
Talk to us. What you do?
All right. I'm going to ask a question. Sorry about this again. I'm not, though. So, while we're on the subject of, like, uncles and all that stuff. So, I just want to do a poll out there real quick. Just ask Patrick. So, Patrick, one of the things we talked about, he agreed to. He forgot he was drunk. Naming his first child Carlisle.
First of all, I ain't never say that dumb
so
shit.
So, I'm signing up to be the godfather to his child.
Dumb shit up. You don't bring this dumb shit
Carlisle.
Up.
And I named my son Anthony. What's wrong with that?
You cannot sign up to be someone's godfather.
Yeah, hey, I dibs that.
You do that.
Once we became best friends and high-fived a lot,
no.
Godfather.
No.
Instantly. Not even to one of the children.
No.
All them damn kids. No. Okay. You can have 17 kids. All them shits is mine, too.
First of all, I ain't about to have no 17 kids. I ain't the Douglas, nah. But, no, you can't you just can't sign up to be that. Like, somebody has to give you that.
Okay, I'm going to go to the christening.
Somebody has to appoint you.
I'm going to go to the christening.
A godfather.
Dressed up like
the
son.
The same way you have no control over who makes you a godfather, you have no
yes,
control
I do.
Over becoming an uncle.
If you say I'm your best friend, that automatically means I'm the godfather to your child. First of all.
Just as somebody's best friend don't mean you
yes, it is.
To take care of their kids in the case of an emergency.
Yep. Yes, I'm the most suited because I would raise them the same way you would, except they probably wouldn't be able to swim. All
right, now,
and what's so wrong with that?
Let's say, for example, that I am financially irresponsible. I'm doing crack cocaine. And
why would you be doing that? I would take the baby from you anyway.
Rehab, right? And we still best friends, but I'm going through rehab and stuff, but you just so happen to have kids. Carl, you going to let me be your kid's godparent?
Yeah, because you're going to flick that shit up.
If I have a history of abusing drugs and being financially irresponsible,
why would we be better? First of all, okay. No, okay. The answer to your question is, if it's you as you presently stand and you backslide, I would still say yes. It sounds weird because I know you when it comes to kids. But if it's a random person that has those backsliding tendencies, Then hell no. If I had a best friend that was a drug dealer,
why would you pick a random person?
I'm just saying, if it wasn't you and the physical, I'm just saying.
That makes no sense.
Anyway, sorry, we got off track again, guys. It's Six Packs with Expats. We talk about a variety of topics. This is our episode one. It's going to be a good one, as you can tell, if you can't tell already. So, yeah, me being back home, again, I guess I'll say, again, like Patrick, I love being back home. My sister had a baby as well, a niece, that happened. She had the baby. She had a baby 2 months after Patrick's brother. It's kind of, you know, awesome. They're around the same age. Love is in the air, should I say? No, probably not. But maybe, who knows? So, yeah, I mean, it was good being back around her. I did a lot of babysitting. I took care of my mom for, you know, 6 or 7 months, which was really good. But more importantly, but also in addition, again, just being around family. Like, my granddad just turned 80 3 days ago. That's huge. I was good to be spending time with him in his yard fixing stuff. My grandma, she's almost 80, spending time with her. It's good as an expat to take time out to go back home and just, as an expat, I think we're fortunate that we can go back home and just be at home. Like, not have to go about going to work, not have to worry about doing anything else but spending time with family. That's a rare, I think, opportunity or experience I think a lot of people don't get to have. Like, if you live at home around your family, you're around them, but your life revolves around you. Is that fair to say? Like, you have your own job, you're dating, you know what I'm saying? Everything kind of revolves around you only. But when we go back, it's like we're going back specifically either to travel, but more important, always is for family. So what we're doing revolves around making sure we make the most out of our time with them. So like the time that we spend, for me, I know I'll remember it. I love it and I cherish it, but I'll remember it a lot more firmly because all I'm doing is spending time with my family. So that was good. But I will say, and Patrick, you can retort this if you want to, being back home reminded me of how much I don't want to remain in America.
Bruh.
I just don't. Nothing against people who do.
We're going to get more into that later on in the podcast.
But man, no.
But bro.
I love the USA. Don't get me wrong. Shout out to all the soldiers fighting for our freedoms. Shout out to Juneteenth, all the black people holding it down. But man, living there, after living here, and knowing where else I could live, and knowing how top, man, nah, I'm good. I'm cool on that, fam.
Right, you know what? Matter of fact, let's go ahead and get started. Let's get started with that discussion then, because I wanted to start it off or kick things off saying, like, Carl, what exactly is an expat? Because, I mean, number one, that's something that we talked about a lot during season one, but I don't think we ever really got into it. Like, what exactly is an expat? What is it?
It's interesting because I get this question a lot when I say it, because I say, yeah, I live as an expat. I'm like, what the fuck? What is that? To be honest, full disclosure, I didn't know I was an expat. I really can't hear myself. I didn't know. If I'm real loud, guys, I'm sorry. I can't. I have my headphones on. I can't hear how loud I am. But
just slide your microphone back.
I didn't know what an expat was until I 3 years into being one. And that sounds weird, but I'm going to go full disclosure on that one. But essentially, an expat is a short for an expatriate. So I'm a patriot of America because I live there, a patron of America because I live there, born there, all that. But an expat is someone who lives in a different country, either full-time, short-term, whatever, but lives and works in a different country, essentially. Long story short, right? So I'm an expat because I live and work in Taiwan, you know, doing it out here, you know, gang, whole lot of gang shit. But I'm American. My nationality is American. So I'm an expatriate of America. There's expatriates from everywhere, from England, from New Zealand. If you move to a different place, you're an expatriate of that place. Did I leave something out?
Nah, that sounds good to me.
Yeah. So right,
now you giving us the textbook, the Webster's definition of an expat.
True.
But Carl, what is an expat? Now I want the CEO version. I want the junior. Oh. I want the junior version. What does it mean to be an expat of a place? Because would you consider us expats when we went back to America? Because we had been in Taiwan for so long that essentially became where we was from. That's how people identified us.
Mm. Oh, wow.
Right, so I mean, like, we were going back to a place that we were born and raised, but not a place that we grew up in. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ooh,
I know that. I got deep for a second, because again, like, I was trying to explain to people, like, I grew up in America, was raised in America, but I spent the majority of my adult life outside of the country. 2011, I just graduated from college. Then the next 6-7 years, I was overseas figuring stuff out, you know, on my own. Obviously, I have my family, my support system and stuff, my friends here. But again, that's where I spent the brunt of my adulthood so far. And I'm back. So, Carl, what does it mean to be an expat?
That's actually a great. And to kind of like piggyback off what you were saying, I think one of the things that I realized when going back is, and I've been telling my little sister, I said, from 21 to 30, basically, I grew up professionally, and I say professionally and culturally and socially and mentally in Taiwan. So a lot of what I knew was based off my experience I had in Taiwan, not the American experience. So when I go back to, I think an expat is more, I realized as being a more mental thing than a physical thing, meaning that when I went back home, for example, I lived out of a suitcase and I was 100% okay with that. Because as an expat, I don't 100% okay with it. I would have rather had, you know, a drawer or two. But, you know, I had to do what I had to do, whatever. But I say that to say that I was okay with doing that. But more importantly, I did it because I was so excited to go to the next place. See, me and Patrick have been bouncing around from place to place. Even living in Taiwan, we always were traveling. So I guess for me, it was easy because I was so used to always being on the go and looking forward to the next place to go that as an expat, I'm like, cool. I can live out of a suitcase because I'm just looking forward to the next place. It keeps me on my toes. It keeps me ready to move around and not be stagnant, right? So if I was, in my opinion, if I was Carl, not the expat, I would move home and be like, man, I'm ready to stay. I'm ready to get my own place, blah, 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 this, blah, blah, that. But as an expat, my mentality is to keep it moving. Even though in Taiwan we live and work here, the benefit of being in Taiwan and working how we do, we get 2 to 3 months of vacation to just travel. And even during the rest of those 9 months, we're traveling, well, back then we traveled at least once a month to another country. Okay. So we were always on the go, always on the run. So an expat is always on the run. No Jay-Z and Beyonce shout out, whatever. But we were always on the run, always on the go, always looking forward to our next experience and next adventure. So in a different place.
I think we shout out
Jay-Z. We can. Like Jay-Z, like I have all his albums, he's a role model of mine.
Shout out
Jay-Z Otis, so you gotta say his name first. Let's do it that way. He got similar hair to you, except his shit not as nice.
I'm about to say that.
At all.
Nah.
But I mean, he's almost a billionaire, so I mean, there's no such thing as the ugly billionaire, apparently.
I'm cute.
To somebody. Blue.
Nah, that's very interesting. Again, I do in many ways, I do agree that being an expat is just as much mental as it is a physical, as it is a physical thing, you know? You can be in America and have that mindset. You're like, nah, I'm an expat, like, I don't belong. Like, I'm a stranger in a foreign land, or a stranger in a familiar land, or however you see it. I think that's real interesting.
I do want to clarify a few things. So what were the differences and I want to focus on positives. The positive differences outside of family and being back in America versus Taiwan, and then the reverse,
Black,
the opposite of that.
Women.
Yeah, okay.
And soul food.
Man, like food, yeah, you can't
go with that. Just hand down, undefeated. Black women. I wish I could see the face I was making right now. Come on.
Man, we should have live streamed on Instagram. I don't know why I didn't
come
do that.
Come on. God, I love black women. But no, some of the positives of being back outside of family. I think it's always really good to, like, when I was back, I was around people who looked like me, and that was very comforting to me. It was terrifying, but again, we're gonna discuss that a little bit later in the podcast. But no, it was really good just being around so many other brown people, black and brown people, people who were smart. Like, I mean, I missed seeing stuff in English all the time. I missed hearing English all the time, and I didn't realize it. I miss having, like, really, really good conversations with other people that weren't just Carl, or the couple of people that we worked with, or, you know, my cousin Stephanie. Like, I miss really getting to, you know, like, discuss things with other people, getting to know stuff, and expanding my horizons and building my perspective. But, like, I miss being back and having that kind of, like, outlook on, like, you know, like, we really take for granted honestly, just hearing your mother tongue.
Mm-hmm.
Like, once you live away for a while, and you're like, man, it's a struggle to order breakfast. Like, when I can just go someplace and be like, let me get this. Yeah. No, like, you like, why is this stuff? I can do this all the time.
All the time.
This is great. But now, I miss those things. So I think those were some of the biggest positives. Again, outside of my family, about being back. And again, well, obviously my friends too. Because, you know, I got a lot of friends. Shout out to B. You got Rim, Brie. I'll say be real.
You want her to be real?
Brianna, we got to hang out with Brianna for a little bit.
Yeah.
We saw her for like a couple hours. She was in Chicago with her friend. She ain't really say nothing. All the time. She said the car. She ain't really talk. But it's okay.
We ain't mad about it.
I saw my Sands. Shout out to Pace. You know, he just graduated. Carl just had the biggest Cancun.
120 people in Cancun. 120
people came out to show him crazy love.
For his birthday.
Cancun flew out.
And we can't even get one motherfucker to visit us in Taiwan for 20 minutes.
We had a couple of visits. But again, we're not talking about it. We're talking about positives.
Positive. So again, I was mad for
it. It was really good being back, seeing all my close friends, all of my family. But again, I really missed. I missed the food. I was eating catfish like all the time. It was a point in time where I was eating like once a day, 2-3 times a day. At least once a week. I'm pretty sure I ate caffeine like once a week while I was back. Man, it's so good. I miss it. And of course, I can't say it enough. For black women, I love it. I miss seeing y'all. I miss being around y'all. Y'all smell so good. You look amazing. It smell like cocoa butter and lavender oil.
All the time. And coconut oil. Coconut butter mixed with the oil. Man, that should be fire.
Your skin is so soft. Your hair is like mine. And people could braid my hair. My hair is long now. That's another thing. My hair is long. It used to be short, but now it's long. So I had people who come to my hair, like, oh, your hair's so nice. Can I braid your hair? I'm like, yes, you can braid my hair. I actually need someone to. Thank you. I appreciate you. Good times.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Good times.
Again, America is, I guess for me, it was a little bit of the same. I think, similar to Patrick, I enjoyed the ability to being able to order stuff for you, like knowing where to go for food. Like in Taiwan, even though we've been there for so long, it was sometimes we just had a craving for Western style food. And it was always more expensive or it was always out of the way. It wasn't necessarily like as readily available. Granted, we could cook at home. And Patrick and I, one thing I will say about being in Taiwan versus America, we learned how to do so much by proxy of not being in America.
Oh, yeah.
I can speak for myself. I definitely learned how to cook more dishes than I knew back home. But I also cooked food the way I like it cooked for back home as well.
Mm-hmm.
Just because, you know, I want to taste the home. I knew I could do that. Like, we would fly out paprika and lemon pepper and, you know, all the Lowry's, Sweet Sweet Baby Ray's, Open Pit. Like, all the stuff that, you know, that you kind of need to have a taste of home. Black Eyed, oh my God, Black Eyed Peas. Collard greens. Mom made greens before I left. It was so good.
Everybody likes jiffy cornbread.
Everybody likes jiffy cornbread.
You're like, oh, you eating that box? I'm like, yeah. Yes. I eat box cornbread because they ain't got corn out here.
I also enjoy hot water cornbread. Shout out to your moms, know how to make that. Moms and future wives.
I'm going to have to go ahead and get a cast iron skillet, baby.
Because, man, oh my God. So, I mean... But I agree. I think it was the dialogue I was able to have. For me, like you said, like Patrick, with friends, being able to reconnect with friends, and a lot of our friends, most of our friends actually, are doing amazing things, like moving really far up in their jobs, getting married, having babies, buying houses, like doing a bunch of amazing things. And they were like, oh my God, like Carl, like when are you going to be doing all this? I'm like, not no time soon, and I'm okay with that. I'm really okay with it. But yeah, I mean, it was cool being back, you know, at home and in those areas. But one of the things I kind of want to ask Patrick is like, okay, so, what's something you realize about just yourself after leaving, you know, Taiwan and go back home? Like, what is something that you realized about? Before he answers, I want to preface it by saying that's the same thing I was going to say. And I'll go into my reasons why later, but I'll let him answer about himself first.
What I realized when I got back is I'm smart as fuck, dog.
Yeah.
I know a whole lot of shit about a whole lot of stuff. And I think that it's mainly the, like, a lot of the experiences that I've had have just exposed me to a lot of things. A lot of the experiences and the people that I've met, be it back at home and abroad, it just made me just one smart ass motherfucker, dog. Like, I'm very intelligent. I am very, very smart. It's like, I know a lot of things about stuff that people just don't, you know, it's a whole wealth of information up here. Like, you ask me a question, I might not give you the perfect answer, but I'm going to be very knowledgeable of the subject, and I'll be able to tell you something. What I did really learn, though, is that, that's pretty much that. I'm smart as shit. I think that's the main thing. I know a lot of shit. I'm smart as hell. I'm a smart dude. Also, I can drink a lot more than everybody else. I think that's because alcohol in America is so expensive. Out here, cheap.
Very cheap.
Cheap, cheap, pun, pun. Shout out to Dirt Cheap Liquor Store in St. Louis. But now, I can drink a lot and I'm smart.
And that's, and the reason why I ask that question is because, you know, when you, and before disclosure with you guys, we didn't go back to America balling and shit, right? Like, there were circumstances, like, we stepped out on faith, did our whole company and all that. And again, it's, being an entrepreneur is a struggle. Not to say that we were, like, you know, we ain't had $0, but, like, we weren't as affluent. As affluent as we had been. Not that we were affluent, but we have as much as we have when we were working full time and doing our side gigs. You know what I'm saying? Like, so it was a process. So I say that to say that I really saw the benefit in going from being in Taiwan and having a lot, meaning salary wise and job wise and comfort wise, to going back to America and living with your parents. Like for me, like living with my mom and brother, like
it definitely humbles you.
It does. I think it's a, and as much as it can be a negative thing, so in some lights, I think it was really a positive because it made us resort to skill sets that we knew that we had and had to utilize.
Oh yeah, I was out there building websites.
Yeah,
I was doing photo shoots. Dog, I was doing whatever, cutting grass,
like, whatever stuff. It took.
Dog, whatever. I signed up. I'm a dog walker back in America. Y'all need y'all dog walking next time I'm back. Holler at your boy. But again, yeah, you do realize, and I think that goes into being smart too.
Yeah,
like you learn a lot of skills that you have when you have to rely on your talents to eat or to do whatever, or go out and hang out with your friends. Like you make it work. Like you put that network to use. You put your network, you put your skill set to use. All that stuff that you can't think you can do. Now people still pay $20 for y'all to cut grass.
They do.
You could cut some yard for $20, G. If you sign up to be a dog walker, depending on the app, you can make at least like $30 an hour walking these dogs. Y'all better get out to these white folks', folks' houses.
And black folks. Black people have dogs.
Black people money. Ain't paying nobody to walk their dog, G. If they got a backyard, the dog is.
If I could pay somebody $5 to walk Ava, I would pay a day. I would pay them $5 a day.
Nigga, give me $5 to walk the dog. Shit,
I
walk.
No, it's your dog.
I'm about to say,
it's our dog.
I ain't about to pay somebody $5 a day to walk Ava when I could easily do that myself.
I'm just saying, $5 a day divided, that's $250 a day.
We could about to pay nobody
easily do that.
$250 a day.
That's $6 a month.
That's $5 every 2 days. That's $5 for me every 2 days. Then that's what. Yeah, no, I could have just divided that in half. That's at least $15 a month.
It's $6 a month per person.
$60
To walk Ava.
No, it's not. $250. You know what? That's right. Hell no, I ain't paying nobody. No, because $250.
I'm just saying.
$250. So you gotta do some more math because that's like
$5 a day times 10 is 50.
Where you getting 100?
150 is like $75 each a month.
Exactly. You see what I'm saying? See how the number just went up? Ain't nobody paying that
much water. $15 that went up by.
Hell no. You know what I could buy out here for $15? A table.
I was about to say, like, it's like a good a 15 meals.
I could probably get a fridge for $15 out here.
You ain't never lied. Our fridge is nice.
I ain't about to pay nobody to walk my dog and I can do it myself, but I would definitely walk your dog if you wanted to.
In addition to being resourceful, you know, and like figuring out what you're good at and maximizing that potential, right? So, me, I love driving, really good at it. So I did Uber. I liked Uber until I got into an accident. That didn't work out very well. Traumatized PTSD. We'll talk about that later. PTSD. You know what I mean? But
PTSD.
I said it wrong the first time.
That's
a pre-STD. Completely wrong. But one of the things that I realized how much I didn't need, and I'll be honest with you guys. We have been in Taiwan for so long. We had collected so much stuff. Imagine being 20, 21, 22, 23, 24, making a decent amount of money, being single for the most part, for the majority of the time.
Single like, as in not married.
Yeah, not married and like just being able to do.
You got no dependents.
No dependents, not a lot of bills, and living abroad and traveling. Just like, you know, when you travel, you buy stuff. Depending on where you travel to. If you go into a resort, you ain't buying nothing from a resort. But if you travel the way that we travel. Resort,
you buying tons of bottles of that.
Pure white Hennessy. Everybody buys that apparently.
Pure white.
And not drinking it either.
And it'll cost you $50 a pop. Hennessy pure white. A drink by cognac.
We need to make. I wish black people were like the owners of Hennessy. I really want to support like a black alcohol distributor, which is why, even though I don't drink Ciroc, I'll drink Ciroc.
I don't want to drink Ciroc, but I definitely will because shout out to Diddy. You know they got a Ciroc Dark now. It's like a whiskey.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm switching like, over
soon,
to that.
As soon as I see that.
As soon as it hit.
I'm like, even if it's not good, I'm gonna drink it because I, you know, support Diddy. But did you heard about Henny Palooza?
No.
All right. So what it used to be, Henny Palooza used to be this big party. It's pretty much like a. Well, shit, it was a fucking party. It was just sponsored by Hennessy. They just had a bunch of Henny drinks. So you go, it was started up by these black dudes, right? This group of black dudes, I use that word, into whatever, you know what I'm trying to say, men or women. Because I don't know exactly who did it. But it's a group of black dudes. And they started Henny Palooza. They was working with them and stuff. But then Henny wasn't like really fucking with them. They were like, nah, we don't want to be like, official sponsor of them, but Duse came in. They were like,
Duse.
They were like, hey, we'll do it. He's like, we'll treat y'all right. Henny ain't fucking with y'all. Cool, move on to Duse. So, Henny Palooza died. Duse and Henny.
And then when I'm back to America, that's the thing. Like side note, guys. Like, what people drink, a lot of women that I was with, I'm not saying it to say anything, but like, they were ordering Duse. And I'm like, what's up with Duse? Like, where everybody on Duse? In my opinion, black people, be honest with you, I just really wish we would develop our own stuff and support our own stuff. I mean, with so many people hating on like what Jay-Z and Beyonce is doing, it's well, like, man, nah.
Dog, you know.
Black people have black stuff. Business.
Ludacris had, Ludacris had his own, he had his own cognac. It was a...
And you smile and makes me know that it sounded like it was terrible.
No, like, I'm trying to think what it's called because he said it in a song. He said, man, I can't think of the name of it. It started with a C though. But Ludacris had his own, he had his own drink.
Mm.
He had his own 50 Cent. He got I'm pretty sure 50 Cent on Viking water or something. Well, he got like a huge stake in it. Akon got a new Bitcoin service now. It's called Acoins, which is actually kind of dope. I mean, he's got his name in it.
Here's my thing. Everybody I talk to, nobody ever has ever told me alcohol tastes good. No one's ever said that. And I know this to be true because most people that I go out with, for me and you, Pat, when we go out, how we drink our drinks? Straight. Like, it don't matter what it is. I don't want to mix my shit because it makes my stomach hurt when I put sugar in it. So like
that sugar. We trying to tell y'all when you put them sugars in y'all drinks, that's how you get a hangover the next day.
Yeah.
You be drinking champagne and bubbly, cause you throw up.
Yeah, it's like, no. Bubbles. So for me, it's like, if you're gonna mix your drink anyway, mix your drink with a black drink. My opinion. That's my opinion. If you're like you're trying to really about support black business, all this, you know, moving the college forward or whatever.
Now, do like, hey, vitamin water.
Move your Ciroc. Really Ciroc, like
Ciroc and Dr. Pepper.
Because you're not tasting the actual. If you're drinking your drink straight up, you're buying the actual product because it tastes how you like it. I don't necessarily. I've never gone by myself to a bar and ordered Hennessy because I like the way it tastes. Never. When me and Patrick go out, what drinks do we normally order because we like the way it tastes?
I like beers.
Right. Can I get a okay, I do enjoy not
like
Maker's Mark.
To like a bar if I'm trying to get like drunk. I'll get a good whiskey.
Knob Creek.
Good whiskey.
That's not whiskey, but yeah, Knob Creek. I'll drink a good Knob Creek. Tastes
Knob
good
Creek,
to me.
Knob Creek ain't whiskey. Oh, you just said that.
It's not whiskey, but it's a good bourbon. Not pretty.
What's a whiskey that I like?
Yeah, like what do you go and you order because you enjoy, like, people are like, oh, yeah, I want to enjoy. No, you don't, because even the guys, like, yeah, I want to get, they mix their drinks. I'm like, you don't enjoy the taste of it. You're basically drinking and buying it because of what my society's perception of it as a black man. Let me get a Hennessy with Coke. What the fuck are you mixing the Hennessy? Enjoy the Hennessy. If anything, get a Hennessy straight up and get a Coke on the side.
You could do that, yeah.
My opinion, but I'm like, hey, don't, I'm not finna, hey, if I go to the guy, I'm like, hey, what, you want me to buy you a drink? Yeah, let me get a Hennessy Coke. I'm not buying you that. I'm gonna get you a beer. I'm gonna get you whatever I'm drinking. Because people are like, oh, yeah, what you drinking? I'm drinking a Hennessy straight up. Oh, no, dog, y'all out here living reckless. No, I'm enjoying my damn drink.
I'm not gonna front, you know what tastes real good? Crown Royal.
Crown Royal is amazing.
That's amazing.
I have it in my flask now.
It's a smooth blue drink.
Shout out to Angel.
It's a smooth blue drink.
It is. Crown Royal is good. It's made for black people, in my opinion.
It's good.
Sorry, but anyway, yeah. So I learned, going back on topic, we kind of, again, C-Specs with X-Packs. We talked about a lot of stuff. We learned how to live without as much stuff. People don't know, when we moved back to Taiwan, we got rid of a lot of stuff. A lot of stuff.
I got five shirts.
Right, yeah. So, I mean, we learn how to, as an expat, going back to what Patrick said, you learn how to live small without needing a lot of things. Like, how many people, if you go in your closet, it's a bunch of shirts, clothes, pants that you probably won't, haven't worn in years. But it's still in there. Because you're like, oh, maybe one day I'll wear it. When in all reality, one day you probably won't wear it. Or like me, I had documents and papers and toys and things that I said I was going to get to, but I probably would never have gotten to. So going back home, was like I had to live small.
Carl said his shit sound like a Disney movie. He said, these are a few of
them. I had a lot of stuff. Like Patrick would tell you, like, we would move from place to place. Patrick could put his stuff in 3-4 suitcases and then maybe like a big ass trash bag. Because, you know, we ain't buying no bag to move. I had like literally 6 suitcases. It was just full of, I still have a lot of stuff because, you know, I've just been living longer.
You really had 6 suitcases.
But just, I had a lot of stuff. I'm like, man, I don't even use half of this stuff. And for me, like, I love things that, I love memories. So, like, stuff my students gave me, gifts from friends, stuff like that. Stuff, I wanted to take that with me. But at the same time, like, some of that stuff, I ain't need. Mm-hmm. I didn't need 57 shirts. I didn't need that because I only wore 20 of them, max.
I didn't even wear that many. I got 5 shirts and I probably wore. Nah, I wore all 5 of them.
Like, but it's okay. It's like when you go to work, you don't need to wear a different shirt every day. Like who's really looking at you?
Only shirt that I really wish that I still had that blue and white striped shirt that I wore in the Philippines. That's my favorite shirt. I should have kept that.
What happened to that? That was actually a really nice shirt.
I gave that one away.
Check out our Philippines footage on our YouTube channel, Secret Channels.
I gave that one away.
But yeah, man, like it was. So, transition. So now we're back in Taiwan. It's similar, like how we got the jobs out here was kind of funny. One day I was just, you know, up trying to figure out step number 2.
I'm gonna interrupt for a second. I like how Carl didn't answer the question at all.
What question?
Talked for like a smooth 30 minutes.
What was the question?
Well, no, it's okay. We'll come back to it. Like,
what was the question?
I'll double back. Keep going.
I forgot what the question was.
I know you did. You kept going on a while.
First of all, right. Tangent number 7 then. We forgot to introduce our beers. We're drinking Kirin's. It's Japanese prime brew today. We're gonna, that's actually what it's called. We're gonna review these beers at the end. We are both 2 beers in almost. And yeah, so on the podcast, we wanna make sure we drink during the podcast. People are like, oh, y'all ain't turn it up. Y'all ain't finishing y'all 6-pack. We're finishing it now. As you listen to this podcast, even if you are at work, go get you a beer. And then eat some gum and then go back.
I like that in America. A lot of people like actually leave during lunch and they be getting drinks. I think it's kind of dope.
As an intern, we did it a lot. Our boss would take us to like a restaurant and then they'd be like, oh, it's happy. Because it's always happy hour during lunch. I didn't know that was okay. That's like a thing people do, especially downtown Chicago. That's a thing. Like they go and they don't drink. They get drunk and they go back to work and operate like nothing ever happened.
I be super productive when I'm drunk sometimes. Other times I'm asleep.
It depends on like your mood, but like if I was able to drink and then go to work, not as a teacher.
I was gonna say no, we are teachers.
Probably should do that.
Hey, everyone, like, just so y'all know, we are teachers, but we do not show up to work.
No,
inebriated.
Not we're one
not
time
around kids and stuff. So just don't worry. We do this. We do our podcast on weekends.
Yeah.
For that reason. Or late at night. Yeah. On days that we don't have work.
Or a lot of work the next day. You know,
yeah.
Hit or miss. But
I'm not agreeing with that. I said I didn't do something. My year was premature, y'all.
No take backsies.
Not incriminating myself.
All right, that was a long time ago. We officially haven't started working yet, so technically we can do whatever we want. So, but yeah, like, what were we talking about? Shit, man, I forget.
You was talking about how we got the job in Taiwan.
Oh, yeah, because we got kind of sidetracked.
You said you was up late like, one night. Damn, dog, we didn't turn the AC off. It's cold.
Are you cold? Probably should have a shirt on. I'm really hot right now.
Bruh.
Hot like fire.
Keep going.
But anyway, long story. I'm gonna keep it real short. Hit up an old boss of ours. Like, hey, y'all hiring? Yeah, cool. All right, me and Pat need a job. Cool, y'all got one. That was it. Hey, when can y'all get? Hey, we'll be there in like a week and a half. Help us find an apartment. All right, we got you. We got to get our dog. We got that too.
I want y'all to know I did not agree to that timeline. Like, went later in the month. And Carl was like, yeah, so when you coming out? I'm like, I don't know. He's like, how soon can you get it? I was like, how soon do I need to be there? He's like, all right, I got your ticket for Monday. Flying out, I'm like, y'all, that's very early for me. All right, fine. You fly it on Wednesday.
Yeah, morning. See? Look. And because you're not like, okay, we start working July 30th. It's what, July 8th? So imagine you have to deal with jet lag and getting all your stuff here and figuring out how to eat and all that at the last minute. Nobody wants to go through that. Like, the first time you were 20, when you were young, spry, my bad, I spit a little bit. Young, spry, 21. Right? You were 21. So coming out here last minute, you could do that. You could bounce back fast. Like, you kind of up there now, G. Like, you almost.
So you just said, I could come back here, I could bounce back fast. So why?
I said, when you're 21, you can bounce back. The bounce back game is easy.
I'm brand new out here.
That's what I mean.
I got like 6-7 years under my belt.
Jet lag don't care how old you are, G. It'll take the best man down.
Jet lag disrespectful as hell.
Like,
no matter. Yesterday, I went to go take a 30-minute nap and woke up 4 hours, like, confused.
It don't matter. Like, it's disrespectful.
The dogs laying on my legs, G. I was hot. I fell asleep on top of the covers. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, you did. So, I mean, you got to think
about
that.
The day before, I slept 12 hours. I thought that I was only sleeping like 3.
It was a very long time. Like, a lot of stuff happened in the house while he was asleep. The landlord came over. We fixed lights. We got a new TV. We figured out how to use our security system.
Wow.
It was.
I was out.
It was a.
They put a TV in my room. They took the TV out. They put another one in. They brought a ladder in the house. Like, I was knocked the fuck out.
Dog went for a walk. She was barking at people. Like, it was a lot. So, I mean, I think being back in Taiwan, one of the things we're going to focus on first, but I want to let y'all know how talented the squad is. And we ain't trying to brag, we're going to let you know, like, Patrick does website design. You need a website built? Hit us up. That's literally patrick@cptravels.com. Hit him up, add him to build a website. He does it easy. Really, any kind of website you need, got it done. If y'all need consultants, y'all trying to get travel advice, hit us up, patrickcarlcptravels.com. @cptravels.com. Easy. Trying to go somewhere, fly somewhere. We'll help you find the cheapest tickets. We just found round trip tickets to somebody from Chicago to Amsterdam for $258. You know how much money? They were talking about paying, what, $1,500 before that? Mm-hmm. We saved them $1,200. It's a lot of money. Bam. Doing that. Also, if you guys need some promoters, party promoters, whatever, no matter where you are, y'all want to fly us out to help y'all promote stuff, hit us up. We do that too. People love us.
The only people that don't love us is the people that hate us.
Mm. And they hate us because they ain't us. I've waited a long time to say that. That's a real, not cool phrase. It does sound like anus. I'm not going to say that no more.
Girl, that's a booty hoe.
Girl, that's a booty hoe. So, I mean, yeah, it's a lot of things. We're trying to do a lot of investments in different places throughout the world. So, I mean, there's a lot of stuff we're looking forward to. So, I mean, being back here again, you always got to be looking forward toward to the future. Make sure you're setting yourself up to be, you know, diversify your bonds. Like, know what you're good at and do it.
This is the point of the podcast where you tell that Carl is getting a little bit drunk.
I ain't drunk.
He's just going on random ass.
We was talking about being back in Taiwan.
Yeah, you talked about how we got out here. Now you're talking about we party promoters and all of
those. I said we could be. We're not necessarily party promoters. We can promote parties.
I'm just letting the listeners.
Have we ever promoted parties?
This is the podcast, but Carl gets a little bit drunk right now.
Patrick drank his beer yesterday, so he's mad.
I drank
mine. It's not my fault you drank it. You drank half the six pack yesterday. It's not my fault.
Turn up. That's what I did. All right. I'm going to circle back to the topic that we was getting at beforehand, right? Being back in America, it was good, but it was also very stressful. I think one of the main reasons that being back was so stressful to me was because of how I'm very aware of how black I was, you know.
Oh,
Carl over there, he kind of scoffing at that because I'm light skinned.
No, but I said like how black you are to whom?
Not to everybody, like it don't matter, like still black, still a black man. But no, like I think being back, like one of the most stressful things is just being hyper aware of how black I was. So Carl, I know you was in Chicago.
Shot down all day.
Right, y'all didn't have no killings over the 4th of July. No shootings. That's major. Come on.
I don't believe what the news reports. I've been in Chicago.
I believe that. Didn't nobody that. If they're going to say something positive about your city, I'm going to let them.
Yeah, but I still don't believe it. Right. I don't think many people be dying in Chicago like that.
People really don't be dying in Chicago like that. But again, when they make national news and it's something positive, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and shout y'all out for that. But, no, like I said, being back from something that I was hyper aware of. Carl, do you have any... were you more aware of your own blackness while you were back in America? Because I think, again, just being overseas is something that we are aware of, especially living in Taiwan, because God, like, look at our block. Mm. How many other people of color have you seen?
Like, it's hot, so they be a little bit brown, or they be kind of close to your complexion.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Oh, no, not that many. None. None. It's the correct description.
I think I know so far in all of Taichung, it may be like, I know it's me, you, Nicole.
One other black woman.
It might be two other black dudes out here.
Maybe.
But so far, we pushing like five people in a city of, how many people do you think in Taichung? At least 3 million?
It's 7.5.
7.5 million people. It's maybe 5-6 black people. At least that we know of. Again, we just recently got here, but it ain't that many of us. Again, I burp. You still, like, you're very aware, like, that you look different than everybody else. We're a big rarity out here. But Carl, were you aware of your own blackness just being back and dealing with everything? Because, you know, they got people, you got Permit, Patty, Barbecue, Betty, all these pool police Peters and shit going on. Like what? How did it feel being back and just being a black man back in America? Shit, Childish Gambino even made This Is America. This is America. Don't get me slipping now. He did
that. I forgot the words.
I definitely forgot the words too. I thought you were gonna go with the words, but then you just started repeating after me.
Because
so.
I'm so good at, like, whoa. Like, that's the only part. That's the best part. But no, I mean, being back and being black, I think I got pulled. When I got pulled up by the police, I was like, I was scared. But I was also in my community, so like, oh, you live around here? I'm like, yeah. He's like, yeah, your lights were off. We looked at my dashboard, and he's like, oh yeah, it seems like your lights are on because your dash. It wasn't my car. I was back for the first time. It wasn't my car. I didn't really know how the lights work. I thought those shits was on, but they wasn't. But yeah, I mean,
those dashboards, like, when you turn the lights on the dashboard go off. That's stupid.
It's backwards. I'm like, some cars are the opposite. It also depends on how dark it is outside. Like, when it's the darker it gets, the dashboard lights illuminate. But it was like midday, and I was like, why are you pulling me over? It's midday. I don't need to have my lights on, but then I should.
Daytime running lights up.
But you know, like, if for something like that, for me, when I got put off, I thought, like, hey, turn your lights on. But he's like, nah, let me get your license stuff and check everything out. It took like 25 minutes for him to just let me go, because, like, yeah, your dashboard lights on. So, I mean, for me, that's when I realized, like, hey, I forgot. Driving while black, even in the community that I'm from, I live in, my mom lived in for a while, it's still a real thing. I was frustrated by that because I felt like it was somebody else would let them go. But, and honestly, being from Chicago, my being black in Chicago, it was more positive than negative. I had a lot more positive experience than just being black. I went to a lot of black functions. I met a lot of black people. Driving Uber, I met a lot of people that were of multiracial that we're really happy about what we were doing with the podcast and the company, because I had, you know, flyers and stuff up. So I think being a black man for me, this time only, was I enjoyed being back and being black. And this is one of the few times I could say that, because other times I had really negative experiences being black and being back home stateside. But I think I was more aware because of everything that we've been reading on the news and been watching on the news about black men, you know, being shot, black men and women being shot and all that. And all the deaths and all the things that aren't right about America, I was more aware. But I think, you know, I take it as a part of being in Chicago that I wasn't faced with as much negativity, because I do think that everything's been going on. The black community has rallied around to make more people aware, and having smartphones has made it easier for us to expose ain't shit police people and ain't shit people, period. I think there are still hiccups, but I think that people are more afraid of us because we have cameras, and the black community, especially Twitter, will jump on you if you are racist.
Hey, Twitter been getting niggas fired.
I love Twitter.
They have been getting people out of their jobs, dog.
It's made people from our age bracket, our age group. Like, people below, younger people have Snapchat, which I still don't use and I don't care to use. But Twitter, I feel like can live forever. I feel like there's a point in time when Facebook might die out, but Twitter, oh my God. It's just amazing to me, my personal opinion.
Bro, something interesting about Facebook. Mind me talk about that later. But no, I think, like I said, when I was back, I was very aware of just how I'm a American man, about how black I was. Mainly because, there we go, excuse me. Mainly because I was hanging out with a lot of other, you know, very woke black folks.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of community organizers back in St. Louis, people who were doing things to further the black movements in St. Louis. I was very aware of it. It wasn't the point where I was like, I was nervous about it. Because again, I was always around other other black folks. And that, to me, that was really good. And I like that. But no, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
I see what you're saying. That's cool. Okay. Okay. What was I just talking about? Facebook. Oh, Facebook as it pertains to traveling. Mm. This is a tangent. But not for a lot. Did you know for a lot of people around the world, Facebook is the internet?
Hmm.
That's, I know, that's something that we haven't really thought about. But when you think of, like, most people, like when they get online, how they connect with the world around them is through Facebook. That's why the whole the fake news and all this other shit that was going on with Facebook. That's why it's such a big deal.
It's a huge scandal too. A lot of people. Yeah,
because like I said, for most people, I feel comfortable saying for most people, because y'all tend to forget that, you know, the internet is way bigger than just America. For most people, Facebook is the internet. It's how they connect to the world around them. Like, it's where they get all the information. All that dumb shit y'all sharing, other people is reading, and they're like, huh, well, it's on Facebook.
So must be true. Be real.
Exactly. All right, and again, it's not just your circle. It's not just your circle. A whole lot of people who believe that. So be careful what you're sharing, be careful what you're saying, be careful what you're drinking, be careful what you
Which be careful what you're doing and saying.
Playing.
I'm with that.
I was trying to rhyme it, but it didn't.
Hey, some our bars ain't always at, you know, the highest of bars. Everybody can't be a young Carl.
We lowered the bar like a dick to McDonald's.
That was actually good. I'd reuse that one if I could. Not good. So, anything else you want to hit on? Again, this is the first podcast of season one, episode one.
Season two.
My bad.
I told y'all, Carl.
I'm definitely a little tipsy, y'all. That's the point of the podcast, though. Get a little drunk while you podcast, and then sober up, go get some food, gang, whole lot of gang shit. So, yeah, I think one of the things we kind of want to touch base on is, again, our transition, why we did it, why we came back, what we're going to do now that we're here. Did we touch on those things?
Yeah, a little bit.
But also, so there's a lot of things coming up in the podcast we're excited to jump into. But yeah, season two, episode one, I want to give you guys a brief overview of what to expect, and the good things that are coming from it. Do you want to give your beer review now? Or you want to wait?
Kieran's is cool.
Kieran's are nice. I feel like we've done a beer review of Kieran's before. It's a malty beer.
Yeah.
It says 100% malt.
No, it's a malt beer. It's like,
I don't see why you're surprised.
When you think of a 40, it's like a light 40.
A light 40 and a can.
Nah, you know, like the glass bottle 40 that you get from the gas station.
Yeah,
they come in brown paper bags, shit like that.
Brown paper bags.
It's like,
yeah.
A Coke 45, which is exactly that's all we need.
Like a Coke 45.
The Afro Man.
I think he got high. Did he make the one? That's the one that made that song.
Yeah, he did that. That would have been funny if you
wouldn't have said that. Yeah, I know. I didn't know who made those songs, guys. That was a while ago.
But yeah, no. Yeah, no,
okay. Kieran's a good beer.
It's a pretty decent Japanese beer. It's not my favorite Japanese beer. I prefer
Orion's.
Nah, that's y'all like them Orion's. You and Brian like them Orion's.
It's a good beer.
I like Sapporo's. If I'm going with a Japanese beer, what's that one that we always get that's frozen? You know, you get like a frozen Japanese beer to be frozen at the top. I like that.
Japan has some good beers. Kieran is a good barbecue beer. So like, if you had a barbecue. And you gotta show up with a six pack, and you ain't balling like that. A six pack of Kieran, you
a six pack of Kieran is interesting enough that it's gonna like sustain other people. They're like, oh, this is real interesting. I ain't never had this before. You be like, yeah, no, it's okay. It's kind of like you show up to a place with like Red Horse from the Philippines. It's like,
yeah, that's a strong beer. It's a
Red
good
Horse,
beer too.
Red Horse, hey, shout out to Red Horse beers, because that's a strong ass little
it
ass
is.
Beer. It'll get you drunk as hell. It'll get you drunk as hell like off a six pack.
Yeah,
but like you be straight floating, you like good.
Like things, good. For real.
Oh, Carl, I want you to know that everybody really likes when you say this is a beer that I would have with a meal.
I wouldn't have a Kieran with a beer because it's malty.
Beer.
I don't like. I wouldn't have a Kieran with a meal because it's super malty and the flavor lingers on the tongue for too long. I wouldn't have it. I wouldn't have it with that. Have with that.
Dog, did I tell you? So, y'all already know how I feel about Heineken's. I hate Heineken's. I cannot stand Heineken's.
They're not bad.
It's a terrible beer. It tastes like butt and not in a good way.
It's not a good beer.
Heineken's is terrible.
It's not.
Alright. I'm on the plane I asked the flight attendant, I'm like, hey, can I get a beer with my meal? They're like, yeah, we got three different kinds of beers. We got American, we got Dutch, and we got some other one. I think they said Korean. And I was like, you know what? I don't want a cask because I feel like Korean, they need me a cask beer. And I
cask is a good beer, though.
Cask is okay, but I'm like, I don't want a cask beer. Orion is Korean.
It's not.
Orion is Korean. I don't think it's Japanese. We're gonna look that up. It's but I was like, you know what? I don't want no American beer because it's probably gonna be like a Budweiser or something. I'm like, no, let me go Dutch. I like you know, those Northwestern Europeans. They got some pretty decent beers. Why did they bring me a Heineken?
I don't know why you didn't know that. Duh. You should know that already.
Duh, they brought me a Heineken, but much to my chagrin.
Ooh, chagrin. Chagrin.
A Heineken, when you 30,000 feet up, actually take time to bubble.
That's ridiculous. Heinekens are never a good beer.
When you're in an airplane, or the change in elevation, it makes your taste buds shift.
It does.
That's why a lot of people, if you don't fuck with tomato juice, a lot of people drink tomato juice because it don't taste like you just drinking tomato juice.
It does not.
People get a lot of Bloody Marys because it tastes much sweeter, right? That's why orange juice tastes disgusting on airplanes. Orange juice
to who?
Is disgusting.
Oh, yeah, orange juice. I don't ever order orange. First of all, it come out of a can, and you know.
Orange juice on airplanes is disgusting. But, dog, I got this Heineken, and I was like, hold on a second. I could get down with this. I could get down with this Heineken on this airplane right now. It was good. It was good. Red wine, terrible. They have to do real cheap red wine.
White wine.
But, That Heineken, I'm like, okay, I got to mess with this. So shout out to Heineken's only when you up in the air.
Ha.
When you down here making like sea level, hell no. If you give me a Heineken, I'm taking that as a threat against my life. We ain't friends.
What I will say about being back in America, though, is that a beer that I loved, I kind of came to enjoy. Because, you know, I like, Patrick knows, I enjoy a good Pilsner.
Mm-hmm. You do and like Pilsner.
I didn't know that Miller Lite was a Pilsner. And I drank so many. I enjoy drinking Miller Lights. I would never, but why does it taste like the bottom of a toilet?
That makes sense why you like Miller Lights. Cause
Miller Lights are good.
You be hurting some San Miguel's.
Yeah, like San Miguel's, Miller Lights. I enjoy the taste of a Pilsner. And like, I know when I go out, I used to be like, oh, maybe I want to try, what was it? I do like.
You like lagers.
I like lagers. But some lagers aren't. Every lager isn't built the same.
No. Nah.
But Pilsners, for the most part, I haven't missed with choosing a Pilsner. Nah, and Miller Lights are a good Pilsner.
You got great Pilsner aim.
But Bud Light, what is that? Is that a lager? What is a Bud Light? This is not a good beer. It's really just not. Like, I don't. People are like, let's get a six pack of Bud Light or just Budweiser. And I'm like, nah, let's just go throw up in a trash can. Like, why?
Go throw up in a trash can.
Why would I order a Bud Light? Bud Light is gross. Like, if y'all want to sponsor us, I'll change my opinion. But if not, I'm Miller Lite all day.
I'm not gonna front. If y'all decide to sponsor us, I'm not gonna change my opinion. I'm just not gonna talk shit about y'all.
Right. Like, I'll put y'all on the podcast.
I'll do it all for the
paper. Maybe I could change my mind and be like, oh no, try 1,000 Bud Lights. I bet you change your mind. Like,
I'm
yeah.
I'm not gonna change my mind. That paycheck would. Fuck with you, boy. I did have. This one bum ass beer. It was a 420. It was various. I think it was a IPA. Yeah, it was an IPA. I forgot who it was from. It was green. It was a green can. It had somebody was fishing on it. So if y'all find out who that is, that 420 beer, that was bum. That was good. Mm. That was real good. That might be one of my top beers. Just in general. And again, I had it in the airplane, so you know my taste buds is altered. But it's a pretty good beer.
I really hope that at some point in time in life we can make our own beers. Like we go, like we have a little studio in the crib and just make one that we both enjoy, which would be a challenge.
I think
because you like IPAs and I can't physically drink IPAs without.
Yes, you can.
I can, but it is a terrible night for everybody.
What we can do, if we brew our own beer, we can do a blend. Now I got the burps. We can do a blend of the two. Your favorite beer, do a Pilsner IPA. We call it an IPA.
IBA? Or
IPA.
Oh. I'm going to call it a CPA.
India Pilsner.
That was an avocado. Oh, okay. Indian Pilsner. Oh, is that sick? Hey, that's Patrick Penn, y'all. Don't go out there and steal that.
Ooh, let's switch it around. We call it a poppy. Because it's an IPA spelled backwards with a Pilsner at the end.
It was actually good.
It's called a poppy. I was gonna say an IPAP, but it sounded too close to a Pap smear, and I don't want to drink that.
Patrick Pendon, not the Pap smear part. Y'all do that yourself. But the other part, Patrick Pendon. That means if y'all try to steal our shit, like people that beat, what is it? What's the name?
I'm just gonna break y'all legs. Yeah. I'm gonna tell you hard in you.
Somebody on YouTube, they took our idea for something else we wanted to do, and they did it terribly. Like, if you're gonna take our idea, do it better than that.
They did it kind of good.
It ain't as good as ours would be.
It's definitely everything you said.
Hey, follow our Twitch, CP Travels 01. We're going to play Gears of War today. And I want y'all to see how hilarious it is to watch us play Gears of War. We don't. Have we lost? Have we lost at Gears of War? Do we lose? Do we lose?
No, but we start over.
Gears of War 5 is coming out. Me and Patrick love playing co-op games. And some co-op games, he's better than me at, and vice versa. On the Xbox, historically, he's better than me on Xbox co-op games. Historically, on like, for example, on PS4, I have a PS4 as an Xbox One. Lego Marvel Super Heroes, I'm a lot better at that because it's PS4, and I love superhero games. But he's a lot better at Gears of War because he likes to shoot stuff. It's a perfect partnership because Patrick loves to go in all gung-ho. I like to survey the scene and sniper people. That's the perfect combination. What's wrong with that? Why are you mad? People want to know.
Y'all gonna see. That's all I'm saying. Y'all gonna see.
Follow us on Twitch. See who dies the most. I actually would bet you, when we do Gears of War 4 today, that I would die less than Patrick.
Fewer times.
I know what I said.
I know. You said it wrong.
I'm gonna stick with it. I ain't going back on what I said.
You
should. Because I'm man of my word. Donald Trump has taught us anything. It's to say what you say.
We're going to end the podcast right here. So everyone, thank you all for coming first damn episode.
He's a terrible president.
Six facts or X facts. Again, person. I'm Patrick.
Two. And I'm Carl. I do not support Donald Trump, guys. Nigga, that was a joke.
Come on. Speed it up. We got to do this part again. All right. Thank y'all for coming back to season two of Six Facts and X Facts. We're going to have a lot more shit to talk about. Next time, we have a little bit more order to it. But again, we've been drinking. And who cares?
Watermelon.
We're going to say that for every podcast. It's probably going to divulge into some random transgressions. But I'm Patrick.
And I'm Carl.
And we are
CP Travels.
We weren't supposed to say that. We're supposed to come up with a little intro, but whatever.
We are CP Travels. You know what? We ain't. Yeah.